want to join Dane in thanking you for your presence here today. Glad you're here. We sure want to get those cards from you at the end of the service today, especially if you have prayer requests or if you've changed your email address. I know some of you do that every week. We're here today to hear a report from our team that went to Imo State in Nigeria. And I'm going to call on the High Chief, Dr. Kenny O'Carey, if he'll come up and kick us off with this sharing today. Come on, High Chief. I met this fellow when he was an unmarried student. Yes, sir. And what a blessing he has been. Because of him, God has used him to connect us around the world. We got to meet his uncle Clement, and friendship began and a connection with our church and around the world. Blessed their union, and they have three wonderful children. And Dr. O'Carey is going to kick it off today and tell us about the mission this time. Use this mic here, Dr. O'Carey.
Shalom in Jesus' name. Just expect you to say shalom. Dewo, that is in Igbo language, saying it's greeting you. Well done. Good job. Dewo. The reply is supposed to be Dewo. Dewo. We want to first of all start by saying thank you so much for your support in prayers, for your support in your donations, and all this made this mission a great success. We left here on the 6th, and we came back on the 17th of March. It was a great trip, a wonderful one. I want to first of all thank all the people that allowed their spouse to go with us. You've done a great job. Thank you. I cannot speak here alone. I need all the people that went on this mission to come up here so that we can share all this together. So if you went on this mission to Nigeria, just step forward. All right. As you know, this mission is an evangelical and a medical mission put together. And so we were able to visit four towns in three local governments, which is a similar thing to say counties. So we visited three counties or three local governments and about four towns in total. We were able to see approximately 900 documented patients. So that's a lot. There are some, I said documented, that means those that we really have their cards. There are some that we saw, we don't have the documents. Well, we saw them, gave them medicine, and that's just the way it is there. We also dealt with a lot of spiritual issues. I'm going to reserve that for Melanie and Teresa down there. So they're going to talk about that. So I reserve that for them. So what I'm going to do right now is that I'll give opportunity to everyone to share with us their experience. Because when individuals speak, it's a whole lot better. If there are places that I will chip in, I'll chip in. And as we show the pictures, as the pictures come up, we're probably going to comment on those pictures. And that way, we'll be able to remember some of the tiny details that we need to talk about. Now, I'm going to give you opportunity, all of you standing here, who wants to go first? You want to go last? Who wants to go first? You want to go first? Come on.
Right. Good morning. Good morning. Oh, there's so much to say. There's so much to say. The first thing I want to say is to God be the glory for great things He has done. Hallelujah. In Nigeria, in the Imo State, the language there is Igbo, E-B-O. And when they are when you're praying for them and you use Jesus' name or Yeshua or God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, any of those names for Jesus, they automatically say amen. In the middle of your prayer, in the middle of your conversation, that is just normally their response to God's name. And I thought it would really be nice, of course, with the permission of our pastors, if we could say amen as a church whenever we hear God's name. Mm-hmm. Whenever we hear any of God's names, just say amen. You know, that's in agreement. That's just agreeing with the Holy Spirit. Yes, amen. That is God's name. That is. And listen, there were phenomenal miracles. You want to see God work? You want to see great faith? You go to Nigeria. And by the way, next time we go, we are planning to have the biggest trip ever. The most going ever, because it's a phenomenal trip. It is a phenomenal chance to see people with literally nothing. I'm talking nothing but God. And they are great faith warriors. They went from our prayers and they were healed because of their faith. And we saw miracles right there in front of our eyes. I had a blessing to work with one of the most, is Teresa White. If y'all don't know her, please be blessed by getting to know Teresa. She is through by the Holy Spirit. She has allowed the Holy Spirit to come in her spirit and be one of the most powerhouse prayer warriors I have ever seen in my life. By the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. God is good. I want to say one thing, and then I'm not going to say anything else. Well, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to close with this. We'll put it that way. At the school, we had 4 clinics. And at the school, at the close of the day, I had to take breaks. Teresa was very steadfast. She just kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. One time I had to go to Terry and say, Terry, can you please take over for me for a little bit? I just need to get some water. But, at the school, I took a little break and I heard music under the trees. There were probably about 12 middle school children sitting under the trees. Gary and Maya and Terry and Carolyn, I think some of our team, was over there under the trees playing instruments, and they were singing. And I looked down and they had their tattered socks and just whatever shoes they could wear, they could find. Their zippers, that, you know, one little girl's zipper was torn in her skirt. They had uniforms to wear to school. They were singing to the top of their lungs, harmonizing perfectly to the praises of Jesus under those trees at the end of the day. And that is something that has stuck in my mind from this trip. Gary had a trumpet. And there was a tambourine, there was guitars. And they were, I'll just always remember how those middle school girls harmonized. And it was just like angels singing from heaven.
All right, thank you. You want to sit? Okay. All right, if we need you, we'll call you again. Okay. Somebody else want to say something?
Hi, I represented the senior contingency on the trip, and I think initially it's all the things that were different that we saw, all the sounds and the sights and the smells, everything that were different, and always being aware of how not to screw up your, like your own safety or your own health, taking risks that you, so you're always on guard at first. This is just my experience. But that was all the things that were different to me. And then I saw all these beautiful women. And then I realized how alike we were. And these women were somebody's wife or somebody's mom, somebody's sister. And we were all sisters in Christ. And what we thought that they had so little, they had so much. They had so much joy. And they welcomed us. You are welcome. You are welcome over and over again. Some of them had never seen a nurse, let alone seen a doctor before. And they came to the clinic with needs, and they certainly had never had a blood pressure cuff put on them. And that frightened them. So you talk just that hands-on touching them and explaining what I was going to do and that it was going to be tight, but it wouldn't hurt them. And I'd be holding their hand and the blood pressure, well, they would say, and it was long done, but they wouldn't let go of my hand or my arm. They just wanted to hold me. And just that connection was like electric. It was just, it was the Holy Spirit. And I just never felt used as such an instrument of God's work. I believe this girl's blood pressure was up, and she, and that baby, she would go to see one of our physicians. And but before she left, I had an opportunity to pray with her. And it, there was no language barrier. She knew, I knew exactly what we were talking. We were talking to Lord Jesus for her. I was amazed at some of the other things that it was just, when you have a lot of people, when Nigeria has a very, very high population, a lot of these illnesses are preventable. And that's what struck me very hard, is that malaria is a mosquito-borne illness. But it's just, there is a lot of garbage because they just don't have the good systems under to get rid of garbage. So they don't have ABC or Kirby at this thing to get rid of it like we do. We take it so much for granted. So they try to get it away from their living place. And they're clean people. They're very clean. They have whisk brooms just made out of weeds, but they keep their homes clean. But it's all the surrounding stuff. And that water gets in there, and then the mosquitoes get there, and they get malaria. And it's, I would say, a quarter to a third of the people we saw had malaria and or cholera, or no, I'm sorry, typhoid fever, or both. And they have fever and chills. They talk about these night sweats, the internal heat, and all the waist pain that they had. And, but that struck me as how much is preventable that we don't, that we take for granted. But, just the joy of seeing those people, and, they sang, and they filled me with joy. You think I try to be a joyful person, but that Psalm 100 talks about singing the joy of the Lord. I came back pumped, and this is a wonderful, and I praise God for knowing Dr. Kennedy and Leslie. They are phenomenal people to go back and tend to his people over and over again. This is a godly man. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you so much. Speaking about malaria, it's probably half of the patients that come there have malaria symptoms. And so before this trip, I was looking for medication for malaria. And I searched around in the United States, and eventually when I found one, they were going to charge me $6,000. Well, I don't have $6,000 to buy malaria medicine that will take care of probably 500 patients. That's my projection. And so I continued to pray how to get malaria medicine. So I was able to contact one of my classmates, an undergraduate from Nigeria. And she told me that she could talk to a pharmacist that imports malaria medicine from Asia. And so they charged me $500 to get malaria medicine that will take care of 500 patients. And so that medicine was imported straight to Nigeria. And when we got to Lagos, we picked up the medication to fly to Imo State. So that is really answered prayers. And so we were very rich in malaria medicine. In fact, we had some left after treating them because we got plenty out of that $500. So really, thank God. Who else want to say?
Well, this is the day at the clinic. today we went to Obinze. We were late getting started. We had politicians to come in and talk with us for a while. We went to a secondary school, and a Nigerian journalist showed me around the school. He showed me a class of girls. And it, to me, it looked like a school would have looked maybe in the 1800s here in America. The only thing they had there were benches. That's it. The teacher didn't have a desk. And the journalist told me that the way they had a blackboard was they would crush charcoal and spread it on the wall. And then they even had a list of the classes that they were taking during the day. Let's see. He said that the teachers there teach a lot of things, and a lot of the children are able to go to the university. And one young woman was introduced to us at lunch, and she was looking for sponsorship. She was young, probably 15 or 16, and she was living at the boarding school. And when she graduates, she doesn't have any place to go. And that just, you know, that just kind of hurt my heart that here she is, and a young girl, and a lot of times where there's not safety, that maybe we could find some way to sponsor her and help her to find a home. That's one of the prayers from my heart. I was impressed that at the school, it was sort of like a drill team of young girls. They marched, and they had a large trophy, and they presented it to Dr. Kennedy for the contributions he had made to actually build a house there at the school. I believe if some education was shared with them and they were taught maybe more how to use their natural resources, that and I just wanted to say thank you to some of you. I had just written a note on my Facebook page that the Nigerian people needed ibuprofen, and different ones of you brought ibuprofen for me to take there, and I know it's being put to good use. And I was also able to get beads that showed the plan of salvation to leave with some of the people that we saw there. And they would ask, you know, what does this mean? And that was a bracelet. That was something they could keep that told them all that Jesus had done for them. It means a lot to me that Kennedy came from Nigeria and he has come over here. He's gotten his education. And he, of course, has taken care of his family, but he continues to feel in his heart the needs of the Nigerian people. And even his family goes, the children, you know, the children were there. They were helping to show people the right place to go or to go to the pharmacy. And that just, I mean, that kind of tells me a lot about what's important in my life. The needs of Nigeria are many. They need medical help on an ongoing basis. When James picked me up at the airport, I said, they need us to come once a month. And he said, they need us to be there every day. And so, you know, that is definitely a challenge. I want to thank you for your support and for your prayers. And it was really good to be welcomed home by some of you at the airport. I mean, that really warmed my heart. We were tired. We were kind of tired of the food and, you know, longing for some American food. But it was a pleasure to share with it. They were family members. They were OBGYNs, and it was very interesting talking to them. And one thing that I'm going to pray about, not only did they have the malaria and hepatitis and typhoid, I mean, those are really big problems, but so many people that came through and talked to me, I would take their complaints and then write a card and the doctor would see them. So many of them can't see. And I'm convinced that, that a lot of that is cataract. So the thing that I'm praying that maybe God can use me to do is to maybe find an ophthalmologist. And we can do something so that they can see. I mean, a lot of them said they couldn't read their Bibles, much less anything else. But it was a privilege, and I just thank you, everyone.
All right.
And she said she could see my dad's face in me.
Then Mr. Gary took a picture with me and her.
Thank you. That was a very wonderful one. The children, what they did was, their main function was to direct patients and take patients from the registration to the doctor, take them from the doctor to the pharmacy, because some of the patients don't know where to go. So, Chidumam, Kelechi, Uchechi, under the leadership of Jonathan most of the time, they will lead them to different places. So this woman she's talking about is about 80-year-old woman who is blind. And so she will hold Chidumam on the shoulder to walk to the doctor. She couldn't see when they walked in. So she told me that she needed glasses. I said, ma'am, you're blind. These glasses that we have here are for people that can see, but they cannot read small prints. And so these glasses cannot help you to see. You probably need to go see the other doctor for some other reason. So I continued to see patients. And so Chidumam was a little bit disappointed with the woman, and they started walking out. Well, they went to the door. I don't know what they said. They turned back again and came back to me. And Chidumam told me that she said she still needs glasses, Daddy. I told the woman again, I said, you cannot see. This glass is not for you. But anyway, you're bothering me so much. Look at those glasses there. Just choose one. And just to make sure that she gets away so I can continue seeing other patients. Well, she went there looking at the glasses, and they picked up this big old glass that's so big that it's even larger than her face. And when she put it on, she said, I raised my hand. She said, I can see your hand move, doctor. I put down my hand. She said, I can see your hand. Come down. I rubbed my face. She said, I can see you rub your face. Now I can see. So then they went out and went out rejoicing that she can see. And I believe you, that woman received miracle. I didn't pray or anything, but I guess all the prayers that we've been doing together, when prayers are bonded together, the result is miracle. Miracle just doesn't fly from the air. It's accumulated prayers. Because of your accumulated prayers, some we didn't need to pray, they'll tell you the truth, and it just goes on happening. And any person that wants to say something.
Okay, so I've traveled with my husband multiple times to Nigeria, but this is actually the first time that I worked as a coordinator. Previously, we had Julia Pierce, who she's probably been here a couple of times, and you've probably seen her in old pictures and stuff. She was the one that was the coordinator, but she couldn't go this time, so this was my first time being there. And it was challenging. It was challenging because you got to understand the nature of the people who are there. Like, they need to see, we're supposed to have at least a physical once a year. It's mandatory. You get it free with your insurance. Over there, they need it, they don't have it. Doesn't matter what they want. They're just the way they are. They just go on day after day until it gets really, really bad. Then they start looking for a doctor when it's really bad and when there's usually nothing you can do at that point. So another thing about the people is that they hear promises. Promises are made, but they're not kept. Okay? So imagine us coming in there. It's an 8-hour-a-day thing, but like Dixie said, we started late. We started probably about 10, 11, almost every day. Because it takes that much time to gather everybody together. We were in two different locations. We had to get the vehicles, get everybody situated in order to get to begin the mission. So we're starting at 11 o'clock, and you have 200 people already there waiting for you. They're writing a list of names. Okay, I came first. Put my name on the list. And then we ended up with 136 names on the list, and we hadn't even started. So as far as they were concerned, they wanted to be the first. Everybody wanted to be first. And I don't know if we got it. I don't know if Gary got video, the people that were surrounding us that didn't let us breathe. I mean, we couldn't breathe. Dixie was a trooper. She was amazing. I'll continue to say that. She sat there. She was sweating. She was hot. She just sat there. She was calm. Doing her stuff, I was pretty amazed. You were excellent. Thank you. So they would surround us. They're like, look, I got to see the doctor now. I had to keep making promises and tell them, I will make sure you see the doctor. We got to register you. Then stay in line. Wait for your triage, which was Dixie and Ms. Carolyn. And then you'll see the doctor. They didn't believe me. They didn't believe that we were determined to see everyone. Eventually, we did get to see everyone at the end of the day, but they still complained. It's not that they're not grateful, but they wanted it. They just didn't believe that we were going to be there and see every single soul. But we did. And we saw, so the first day was only 197 people. I'm saying only, but it's not really only. The second day, 237 people. The fourth day, and this was with five doctors. The third day, we only had three doctors because the second day we visited a clinic where someone invited us to be there. There were already doctors or a clinic already established. It was more organized. People were a little bit more calm, so we were able to see a little bit more people. But think about this. Five doctors on the second day, 237. On the third day, it's just my husband, my uncle, and my cousin, 220. See the numbers? Even more. And then the final day, 207. Same three doctors. Actually, there was an additional doctor. So you can imagine how much work the doctors had to do. And now think outside the box a little bit. You have three doctors seeing patients. But then you have these two nurses. Imagine what they did, the people they triaged. You know, Miss Carol is another one. She was amazing. She was just too much. She was so, she has such a big heart. She has a touching heart, a wonderful spirit. She hated to prick them just to get the blood sugar. She hated it. Terry had to come pray with her just to make sure it was done right. So it was amazing. They prayed, and there was this one lady that gave you such a tough time. You had to prick her four times, and she cried every time because of the pain. She cried. She cried every time. And the woman was like, just do it. Just get it done, you know? So it took Terry having to come and pray with her. And then, amazing, when Terry came and prayed with her, then they were able to get it done. The machine had been failing almost all day, you know? So it just, every little thing counted. It was just amazing. It was the little prayer. It was just amazing, you know? So touching and so spirit-filled. So I am really grateful to all of you for being there, for your patience, for your love, and for your dance. Terry was just filled with the Holy Spirit. She just dancing for Jesus. You know, it didn't matter the heat, the dust, the lack of air conditioning. It was just the patience and the gift of the Spirit that you just shared with everybody. You were just amazing. I'm not even going to start with you, Miss Teresa. You're going to share your own testimony. You will share yours, but I will tell you what I saw. Just as Miss Dixie said, she was a prayer warrior. She would sit on the floor. Someone came, I don't know what the full testimony is, just from what I saw, a man came to you, he had a problem with his leg. She sat down with him there. She held his leg and she prayed and prayed and prayed, and she did not let go until he said he felt good. She did not stand up until he said, I am healed. The very first day of the mission in Ihiagua, a lady had been bugging that she wanted to see the doctor, but it wasn't her time yet. She said, I'm going to go for prayers first. Next thing, she jumped out of the room, and she came in, oh, I'm free! I'm healed! I'm like, where did you come from? Where did you come from? She said, over there! And I saw Miss Terry in the room. She was like, I'm healed! See? No pain! I'm gone! I'm done! I'm healed! I'm good! I'm healed! And she was jumping all over the place. And Jonathan was like, okay, so good, all right? So we're done with you, right? So we saw a lot of that. When you're there, you kind of take it for granted. But now that I'm back and I step back and I think about it, it was amazing. It was amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. You know, just emphasizing more on that, as if that was not enough for Teresa, there was a night vigil that was held on Friday in one of the very remote areas in the night. And when they mean night vigil, I mean, they're serious. You're going to pray from 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. nonstop, no sleep. So CY, who came here to visit with us, and he was very helpful over there, very, very helpful. And so he told me that Teresa wants to go on this night vigil with him. I said, in the night, do you have security? How protected are you? He said, everything is fine. I said, okay. But they went there and they prayed and prayed and prayed from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. She needs to tell us the story about that. You want to come up?
Thank you. Well, I have to say that it was life-changing to get to go to Nigeria. And I've prayed for Dust for many, many, many years. He'd say, we're headed to Nigeria, we're headed to Haiti, we're headed to Nigeria. And he'd give me the itinerary for me to pray, and I'd pray and pray and pray. But he never said, why don't you come? Until this year. The Spirit of God just moved on that it was the year. And so it was a privilege. And this whole trip was Jesus Christ in action. This whole trip was the Holy Spirit displaying His power and His love. I mean, He used hands and feet of flesh, but you know, none of us can take any credit. This was Abba who loves His children. And He enabled us to go into a place where we learned just as much as they gave us, just as much in what we learned as the Lord gave them through us. And it was such a privilege to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to have the heart open to say, okay, Lord, what are you showing me in this? And what do I take home with me from this? So that this isn't just an experience, so that I didn't just get to go to Africa. But my life has been changed, and how do I change other lives by what you've shown me and what you've given us the privilege to do? And it's like they said, the Spirit of God moved in power, because Melanie said that their faith level is like off the chain. Because in America, you know, we'll pop some Advil or some Tylenol or some Coldies or something like that. Or, gosh, if that doesn't work, we'll just go to the doctor. But they have nothing except Jesus Christ. That's it. And they really expected God to move. They really expected God to move. And how many times in the Bible does it say, go in peace, your faith has healed you? So it wasn't so much that, you know, I prayed. That really didn't have a lot to do with it. It was their faith level was so high that the Lord was able to meet them where they are. He just had willing vessels in us to meet them where their faith level was, and He was able to move. And it was exciting, you know, it's exciting. And I told Dust that, you know, in America here, praying is what the Lord has me doing, and so I do it. And I see miracles now and again, but it's not real often, but I see them, and I expect and empower and heal. But we also saw salvation. And especially at the secondary school, there were salvations. And there were this older gentleman came in, and he was just like, I just need to know who Jesus is. Oh, man, melt my heart. Thank you, Lord, for sending this wonderful man here. And one of the things that really touched me was, well, there's a bunch. Okay, I'll tell you two. At the secondary school, there was a young man came in. He was probably, I don't know, 10 or 12. And he came in, and he was just a little fella. And he sat down, and I asked him his name, and he said, my name is Israel. I'm like, that is a good name, son. God has shown me in a vision that He has called me to preach His word. I am not able to do that. I need you to pray that He will use me and His words in my mouth. I can't do this. I want to honor Him and be able to do what He wants me to do, but I can't without Him. It's like, how many kids are that age in this nation even think along those lines, you know? And I was just totally broken by His humility and His complete reliance on the Lord at such a young age. But it was, you know, I told the team this. I loved hanging around in the rooms, you know, because then we'd get back or we had a whole weekend, and it's like, okay, now what? And so we'd hang out, and we'd like migrate from room to room with guitars and ukuleles and sing and share our testimonies. And it was just so much fun. And, you know, Miss Audrey and Dusty have told us for years and years that we're part of the Sycamore, because I feel like I am. I listen to you guys every week on the web. You guys do a great job. I want you to know I listen to you every week. John knows because I'll be like, it's Wednesday and it's not up yet. <You know? clears throat> but after going on this trip, I feel like a party gal now. Before, I just knew Audrey and Dusty and Regina, but now I feel like I'm a part of this church, and that's a huge blessing to me. But I just want to correct Dr. O'Keary in one matter. We didn't pray till 7 a.m. It was over by 3. And then, you know, the tradition is that if you go somewhere and minister, and I didn't really minister, I prayed, and C.Y. said, have you got your bottle of anointing oil? And I'm like, this little bottle. I said, yes, sir. He goes, good. White is going to anoint everyone in this church. Well, that was over 200 people. It's like, little bottle of anointing oil. That's what we did. That's what I did. And it was just really just touching the faith and how God moved. But, you know, the tradition is if you go and you minister, then the pastor has you to his home and he feeds you. And so at 3:15 in the morning, I'm looking at rice and stew. It's like, how do I do this without insulting somebody? And CY's like, eat. So we had rice and stew at 3:15 in the morning. It was wonderful. I loved hearing CY preach. Very powerful. I mean, like, he preached for 2.5 hours, and then the service began. You know, then the real stuff. Then he started ministering to people, and that's when the real stuff started. But they're very welcoming. And one of the things that touched my heart is before each, well, not every single one of them, but before most of them, you know, the people would be out, they'd be under the tree, or they'd be in the room, and C.Y. would come up, and he'd just, like, break into song. And everybody would start this clap, and it's not like American clap, okay? It's right. It's a serious clap. It's almost a syncopation to it, to get it down right. And they would just sing and praise God before anything happened. They'd just sing and praise God, and it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful to hear the people singing and praising God. Even though they're ready to get seen, they always took that time to sing and praise God, and it was pretty awesome. So I just give God all the glory. You know, Jesus Christ deserves every ounce of glory from this. And I praise God that he uses Dr. O'Keary, and I'm so grateful and thankful in my heart that I know him, because I'm telling you, I believe the Lord is saying that I'm not done. Like, he's not just giving me dreams about Africa. He's giving my husband dreams about Africa now, and that's a big deal. So my husband's had 2 dreams about us being in Africa ministering since I've gotten back, and so that's, I'm taking that from the Lord as an invitation, and I'm gonna partner with him on that one. So thank you all for everything, and thank you, Dr. O'Keary.
Thank you. You all know before we left, we expected the man of God, our pastor, to go with us, but he was not able to make it for reasons we all know. But I challenge every member of the team that you need to step up. If you were at this level, you need to come up, because the man of God is not there. You just need to take more responsibility. And everyone stepped up. Everyone did what they needed to do, and even did beyond expectation. And I tell you, the first Sunday, when we arrived, the first Sunday we were supposed to worship at the Community Baptist Church. As we arrived there, they said, well, another church needs 2 of your members to be there. So they have 2 churches they want us to split into 2. So I said, well, whom are we going to send to go to the other church so that half of us will worship here and the other half will go to the next church, which is the Victory Church. And Jonathan and Teresa elected to go with CY to the second church. I said, that's good. That's why I said everyone need to step up, because you never can tell what you will do the next minute. There's no responsibility that is defined. You can become a pastor today. The next day, you work in the pharmacy. The next day, you do something else. The next day, you'll be dancing in the church. It all depends. So you can tell how many, the kind of jobs that you did there is just amazing. You want to say something? Maya?
Hi. I didn't really. Hi. like, plan anything. I wrote some notes on my hand earlier of, like, something to say, but now I literally cannot read it. Like, I've, I actually have no clue what it says. Those lizards are really cool, by the way. They're, like, this big and really fast and really cool. But I don't know, like, a lot of people when they go to, like, third world countries and stuff like that, they're always talking, like, oh, it's so sad. Like, they have nothing. It's so poor, you know. Which, I mean, I guess it's true. I'm not saying, like, no. But, like, they really don't, like, have a lot. But, like, what made me sad wasn't that. It was thinking about America and, like, it make, like, oh, I don't know, like, having stuff is, like, all the stuff we have is, like, disgusting. Like, it's so nasty. Like, it just, like, I don't know, like, over there, they have so much more than we have, really. Like, they have, like, nothing, but they actually like each other. Like, they love each other, and they're with each other, and they care about each other, and actually want to be with each other here. Like, we just drive somewhere in our car and go some, you know, whatever, and then go to our own little house with our phone, whatever we do, and we don't do anything. We don't, like, you can spend, like, forever and not see anyone if you want. Like, you can stay in your house and be okay. Like, whatever, you'll be fine. Yeah. But people there, like, I mean, they don't really have that option. Like, they're with people all the time. Like, they're with their family and their community, and they love each other and they help each other and they're there for each other. And that's so much better than what we have here. I think, like, we rely on, like, crap that we have, and it's ridiculous. It's so stupid. Like, it makes me so mad. Like, I was like, I don't want to go back. It's disgusting in America. Like, we're just like, ooh, electronics, ooh, stuff. Like, we don't care about people. We don't, like, no one wants to be around anyone. Like, that's so true. You just would rather sit at home and text someone than going out and being with someone and helping them. I don't know. I don't know if that's, but yeah, and another thing, like, just being there, it was the best feeling I've ever had, like, in my life. Like, the one time where I knew I was, like, that's exactly where I was supposed to be. Like, the first time I saw it, like, from the plane, I was just like, yeah. So, I mean, if God's telling you to go somewhere, like, to the park today, to a nursing home tomorrow, to Denmark, to Wisconsin, like, if he's telling you to go anywhere, whenever, like, don't not do it. Like, do it, because when you're exactly where he tells you to be, like, I can't tell you how good it is. Like, how, like, you just, yeah, that's it. So, just, if you know he's telling you to do something, don't not do it, because it's the best feeling to be where he wants you to be.
All right, thank you, Maya. All the time when we were there, a lot of people said that Maya is like she has been in Nigeria several times. She was just at home. It wasn't like, she wasn't behaving like somebody visiting for the first time. And for that reason, they will always tease her and ask her if she wants to get married. And so she said yes. I mean, she's going to have a good number of men lined up. And they are ready to pay a large amount of dowry, because we have to pay a lot of money to marry. So thank you so much. And she was very, very useful to us in every way. And the last picture that was shown, just to comment on that picture, and some people asked me, how secure are you when you travel there? Well, we got security. There was nothing happening, but the government gave us security right from the airport. When we arrived at the airport, you can see them, MK-16, we didn't need all that, but they were there. And that helped us anyway. When you get on the road, you have police checkpoints everywhere. So with these people, we didn't need to stop most of the time. And in fact, when the traffic is heavy, they clear the traffic, and then we're able to go smoothly. So they were very helpful on their own.
Is this a call? Is that the name? This is called Grab Something in the Lagos Airport at the Speed of Light. Just, it's blue, give it to me. let's see. Maya and I spent a lot of time together and talking about coming home and being there and different things. And a lot of the team immediately knew that they'd be coming back to Nigeria. I don't know. I haven't heard the Lord say that yet. I'm open to it because it was probably the most rewarding experience of my life. But I haven't heard the Lord say, you're going back yet. What I did hear him say since I've been home is that I sent you to Nigeria to commission you back here. That he pulled us out of America because he wanted me to come back here for you and for my neighborhood and for Savannah, Georgia. And everybody says a piece of our hearts are in Nigeria. My heart is right here. And I agree with everything everybody said. The power of the Holy Spirit. At that moment, I saw the heavens opened over Nigeria. I didn't know anybody else was in the room. And there was a set of twin babies at the first day of clinic. They were 6 months old, and their mother had died suddenly when they were 3 months old, and probably hypertension or just something undiagnosed. She died. So the grandmother had both babies, one slung on her back, the other one on her hip. So I carried him around for a while, and I felt like he sent me there just to prophesy. There he is. Just to prophesy over that baby boy and tell him that he was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from that time and that he would serve God as a minister. And I'm telling you, he was looking into my eyes like, just like he was just about nodding. Like he was like, yeah, I know. Braden used to do the same thing. Lisa Tobe, when they had a foster child, Braden, he would like look at you and you tell him the wonderful things God had planned for him. And he would be like, yeah. Like, I'm glad you know now, because I've already known I'm anointed. But the thing that I wanted to say about faith, joining on what they said, is that God is so attracted to faith. He can't help himself but respond to faith. It's like if you're a parent and your child comes to you and like they're just doing the right thing and you can't help but bless your children because you love them so much and they come to you and you've got the relationship and it's like, can you hand me my journal for a second? I don't want to screw up the wording. Thank you. But it's like he said, I can't resist an earnest plea, Terry, or a step into the unknown. It just fires God up. I just jump up and down when one of my children faces a fear because I was the person that was not completely home. When I stepped foot in Africa, I was the person that probably looked to everybody like, okay, what's happening? I faced down a lot of fears in the weeks prior. But God said, I sing and dance when someone says they love me right in the middle of a trial because it's faith and faith and action. God can't help but respond to it. And, you know, in the Bible, when Peter's shadow passed by people, they figured they were getting healed. And that's the way it was with us. We were just there. We're just humans. We're doing nothing, I mean, but being there. But their faith was so great. They're like, if you came from the United States because God sent you, I'm getting healed. So let's go, you know? And it was so humbling, and it just made me realize if I ever thought I was doing anything in my own power before, I was in sin. And now, I mean, even more so, that it's Jesus Christ that enables us to do everything. And truly, in him we live and move and breathe. And apart from him, we can do nothing. Nothing. What it is that you think you're doing today, breathing, no, you're not doing it in your own power. It's because Christ is allowing you to breathe right now. And if you can move, it's because he's allowed you to move. So y'all prayed for us when we left. You surrounded us. And I just felt like God wanted me to ask, who up here, and it's just an act of faith. But if you want more of Jesus, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, if your heart cry, and he said, you know, there's ones that won't, and that's fine too. But if you want more, I know somebody's already asked me to pray for them this week because they want more of God. If you want to just come up here and let us encircle you, the team, and just to pray for more of the Holy Spirit, upon us, because I don't think we're supposed to be unchanged because we had a nice slideshow from Africa. I don't believe that God sent us to do that kind of a lame work. He doesn't do lame work. And so I just make an invitation, and the rest is in your hands. If you have the faith that says, I want more of you, God, whatever that means, He's not going to give you a snake if you ask for a loaf of bread. I mean, He's a good Father that gives good gifts, and the Holy Spirit is the best gift ever. So there's nothing to fear of the Holy Spirit. He only gives good gifts. So if you want to come up here, would you guys be willing to encircle them like they encircled us and pray for God to use us in Savannah, Georgia, according to His power? Because every day I wake up this week, God says, Terry, miracles are not just for Africa. Terry, miracles are not just for Africa. Terry, miracles are not just for Africa. Every day since I woke up, then I've been back, so.
Terry, miracles are not just for Africa. Yeah. All right. we're going to get into that at the end of this session, and those that want to be prayed for will come forward. Remember, the essence of this whole mission is that one is to expose us to see what God is doing in other parts of the world. And in a similar manner, we had American missionaries come to Africa, and that's how some of us got changed. I could remember I grew up working with an American missionary, Southern Baptist Mission, and that's how I grew. That's how I got discipled when I got saved. That's how I went through Survivor Kit 1 and 2 with Philip Wilson from Tennessee. He was our campus minister. And so we have exchange of missionaries, and we have exchange of ideas, and see how God moves. Some of us will eventually become career missionaries. Some of us will become short-term missionaries. And some of us will just take that experience, come back here, like Terry said, and be able to share with people at home here. Whoever wants to say any other thing? Yes. Come on.
I didn't hear that once over there, okay? I did not hear old, pretty much raw footage from a flip video camera, and I think I might have some video from maybe your camera and just some pictures and everything, just to give you a little feel, about 4 minutes of some of the stuff that was going on over there. So I'll let John play that, and then I have one more.
Forever, hallelujah, you are so good, you are so
But wait, there's more. We got a got the opportunity to help Uncle Clement. It's okay if I call him Uncle, isn't it? Okay, good, because that's the only way I know him is Uncle. He never sends me presents or anything, but I'll still call him Uncle. We had the pleasure of helping Uncle Clement celebrate his birthday, his 70th birthday. What do they call it? A Simple Life at 70? That was the name of the book, and that's kind of the name of the celebration, and anything but a simple life. And as part of that celebration, we got to play some music. So we're going to do that for you right now, if you don't mind. Okay? And I'm going to tell the band here the same thing I told the band there. I said, please, please, play along with us. So please, play with us. That's your cue. All right, I'm going to put this down.
Lord, I want to be in. the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints,
oh, when the saints
go marching in,
go marching in.
Oh, when the saints,
when the saints go marching in, yeah.
Oh Lord, I want to be in the number when the saints go marching in.
All right.
Let the Spirit of God receive the gift through you of Him playing the horn and inspire you and stir you up to go sing Joel for the glory of God, or Dan and draw something awesome to the glory of God. You know, we all have something. And I think that is what we got to take back. You know, that's what we've got to live. You can't keep it contained under a basket, or Savannah's never going to be changed for Christ. We got to be who we are.
Thank you. Chechi, you want to say something to round up tonight?
When I was in Nigeria, I just came in. I saw children being crowded by a bunch of kids. Next thing you know, I went in there trying to ask them where mom was. Next thing you know, people dragged me in. They asked me, what's my name? How old am I? And all of that stuff. I was just like, and then next thing you know, they said, why am I shy? And I said, I'm shy because a bunch of people are crowding me. And then a few other people came in, asked my name, asked my age, my grade, and all that. And it just started over and over. Next thing you know, I was sitting in the middle waiting for a break time. And people kept calling my name randomly. I turned around. They waved at me and told me to come outside. I said no, just turned back around, then turned around again. And they started waving at me. And then I just turned around again. And next thing you know, when we started to visit the missionaries, they were eating breakfast. And then Kalechi told me this weird dream about him that was all grown up, driving us to school. Next thing you know, he saw Mr. Gary pop out of the bushes and like, boop, boop, yang, yang, yang. I just started laughing really loud.
All right. All right. Thank you so much. I think this story will not end. We'll be glad if you see us out of the church, ask us about these stories. We'll tell you more and more stories. And that should not be me sleeping. All right. I think we're just going to round up here.
If our team would spread around the building, around the edge, go. Spread. Make a circle. Make a circle right now. Stay right here, High Chief. Y'all spread out so we get everybody hemmed up here, because we're going to honor this prayer. All right? We need a few more over here. Come on. Come on around here. So we want to make sure we've got everybody surrounded. Need one more over here. Y'all move on. Somebody come over here on this side. There we go. You know, Kalechi had several offers of marriage while he was there, too. In fact, I think one more trip and he'll come back married. All right. I'm going to ask you this question. You obviously felt this today, right? You feel this? You feel like they're trying to tell a story, tell you something that they just can't put words on? You feel that? All right. Terry asked us a question earlier. And I want to put it this way. Does God have all of you? Not do we have all of God, but does He have all of you? Would you today like for us to pray that prayer for you right now? Anybody? Anybody? You want Him to have more of you? Okay. This is the universal sign of giving up. It's also worship, And it's, I surrender to you, Lord. I surrender to you. It may not look exactly like it looks in Nigeria, but God's attracted. We've heard it several times today. Attracted to faith today. So let's join in prayer right now. Lord, as we raise our hands to heaven, Lord, I thank you for what you have done through this team, for answers to prayer, for the power of God, for salvation, for healing. Lord, all the ways in which you work and the great joy that just exudes this team today. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we bless your name. For our brothers and sisters there who have already met in worship at least once today, Lord, we pray your blessing on them. Bless Clement Amati. Bless CY. Bless the Owerri Community Church. Lord, bless the Victory Church. Bless the Baptist Church at Mary Inway. Lord, every one of these, we ask your blessing to come. Now, Lord, we know we're not bringing something back from Nigeria. It's fallen from heaven, Lord, and we're asking you that right now. As we raise our hands before you to receive what you want in our lives, Lord, we're raising our hands in surrender and saying, Lord, use us. May the power of the Holy Spirit fall on us. May the gifts of the Holy Spirit be stirred up in us, Lord. May we do and be what you have called us to do and be. Lord, I pray right now against that statement that the devil would point in and bring in our minds and say, well, I can't be like that. No, we can't be like that. But we need to be who God has created us to be. Lord, I'm praying that anointing on us right now. Wherever we are, whoever we are, Lord, we are your children. You have placed us here in this city. And I pray, Lord, you will magnify your name. May the heavens be opened over Savannah, Georgia, and the power of God come to this city. We bless your name. Lord, bless Dr. O'Carry today. I pray, God, I thank you for this man. I thank you for this man of God. I pray your continued protection and anointing on his life. And Lord, as I pray that prayer for him, I'm praying that you're going to give Clement a long life, Lord, that you'll extend his life, that you'll protect CY wherever he goes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And Miss Carolyn, come up here right now. Miss Carolyn, come on up here right now. She's going back to Pennsylvania this afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Right, we're going to miss you.
Thank you.
We love you. All right. We're going to anoint you. And we're going to send you out. Anybody want to come lay hands on me, they can do that right now. Make way for Lex and Rhino. All right, Carolyn, we anoint you in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, now we thank you for our sister that you allow us to be part of her life. And Lord, how you're filling her life with yourself. I pray, Lord, that you'd go before now as we send her out in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to be your ambassador back in her other home. in Pennsylvania, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll use her in her sister's lives, in her greater family. Lord, we pray your protection upon her, and we thank you for her life. Lord, bless your name today. In the name of Jesus, we make this prayer. Amen. You received this prayer?
I received it.
Amen. 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 All right. Before you go today, we would sure like to get those cards from you. Or if you have an offering to bring, there are baskets up front. And there's a basket in the back. If you need other prayer, see one of the pastors. We'll be glad to pray with you. God bless you. Go in grace.